today in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, America's top 10 seafoods and how to prepare them right. It's National Frozen Food Month, and it's real food, just frozen, and we'll make it really special. And does your nose know when cheese is bad? Plus, great recipes that'll have you saying,
"Ooh, it's so good."
Now, in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, along with Merle, Yo, and Brian, here's Howard.
Brian, you know, I said we were talking about fish today. You didn't have to wear your fishing hat in.
I'm sorry.
You got the lures all over it.
Well,
you
look like you're in the bill of it.
You're ready to go fishing. That's crazy.
It's great. I love seafood.
You guys love seafood?
I love it.
Do you?
Yep.
What are some of your favorites?
The ones that live in the ocean. All of them.
Anything that swims, you probably...
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Florida girl, born and raised, and I love my seafood.
Are you more partial to shrimp or
the crustaceans of the world?
I'll eat all of them, except I guess my least favorite is probably lobster. I just think...
Really?
It's funny, me too.
Lobster and crab, I don't think the taste is worth the work. Oh. I hate working that hard for my food.
Pass it, a reward.
I love crab, but I'm not a fan of lobster.
I think once you learn the right way to get the shell off a lobster.
Hire somebody.
Been doing it since I was a little guy. It's not all that.
My family, you know, we're from upstate New York, but we had a lot of relatives in Boston. So we would go and buy lobsters all the time, cook them in at the Cape Cod. Yeah, I love lobster.
I do too.
One of my favorite foods, dripping in butter. Delicious.
Love working on the little legs too, getting those little pieces out and that sweet juice. It's wonderful.
I prefer fish over shellfish. My dad was a fisherman when we were growing up. You know, every weekend we were out on the lake fishing, and so we had a lot of fresh fish. And I love that. There's nothing better than
that. Oh, that is really good. Have you fished,
fresh caught Merle? Fish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What kind of fish have you caught?
I have never caught fish.
Oh, you've never gone fishing.
I have gone fishing. Okay. But I have never caught a fish.
You've never caught a fish in the times you went fishing.
I do not have the patience that other people are blessed with. So if I do not catch something within the first 30 minutes of me holding the pole or being around, I'm like, all right, I'll just chill here. You catch the fish and I'll wait to eat it.
Well, if you don't catch it, you don't get to eat it. That's the rule.
Well, luckily my family's nicer than you.
When we used to go to Boston, my uncle Bob, he had a small boat. And we would go flounder fishing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a drop line. So you didn't have a pole. You just had like a little spool and you would drop the line. You touch the bottom. You come up like 6 inches. We would catch hundreds of flounder.
Wow.
And we would get some. There'd be three or four of us on this small little boat. And we would go. We would run out of bait because we would catch so many. So we would trade fish for bait so we could get more fish.
Sure.
And we would just go back and just to his backyard and just clean these fish, put them in the freezer. Oh, great memory.
Did you ever come home and cook them right away?
No, yes.
Oh, that's...
The absolute best. When I was in Seattle, we had some really good salmon bakes. And
they do it right.
It's
Alaska salmon bakes are fantastic, too.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah.
Well, according to the National Fisheries Institute, the top 10 seafood choices are shrimp, salmon, tuna, tilapia, pollock, pangasius, which I'm not sure what that is.
It's swai.
Okay. Cod, crab, catfish, and clams in that order.
I love catfish.
I'm not a fan. Really? What do you like about it, though?
When it's fresh, it's delicious. I actually had the opportunity to go to Mississippi and visit some of the catfish farms. And if you've never had U.S. farm-raised catfish, maybe you're talking wild catfish.
Wild catfish.
But very U.S. farm-raised, it's so clean, so pristine. Really? It's a whole different category, and I tell you, fried, sautéed, one of the best fish I've ever had.
What is swai, by the way? I've got to ask you. You mentioned the...
It's almost like a Vietnamese catfish.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of controversy over it because their standards and their packaging does not really uphold to the U.S. standards. Mm-hmm. So I would be a little bit more apprehensive, possibly, or really make sure the source...
It was really popular at one point. To me, it kind of has a flavor similar to tilapia.
Very similar.
Very mild.
Nice. Yeah, very thin
It's
fish.
Interesting, though, this top 10 seafood choices doesn't have my favorites, which
Haddock?
Is trout and snapper.
Oh,
I love snapper.
Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did anyone really grow up with haddock?
I've had it.
My mom used to make it.
Up north, haddock. Fish Fry Fridays.
Yeah.
We would always have, you go to a fish fry, and people down here are like, what are you talking? The restaurant would be a fish fry, and you could get haddock, shrimp, clams. They would bread them, french fries. They would have coleslaw. That was it.
How about that?
And you would go in, and you stand in line. They wrap it up in paper, not newspaper, just deli paper, and you would take it home, or they would have like four or five seats there. And that was Thursday, Friday. The lines would be out the door.
Is that your favorite way to have fish?
I love just fried fish like that. Absolutely. Yeah.
What about you, Brian? What's your favorite way?
You know what? I'll go fried or broiled. It doesn't matter. And if Susie makes it, I'll, you know.
You'll eat it.
I'll eat it anyway. You know what's surprising? I just noticed oysters are not on that list. Clams are.
Yeah. But they're not anywhere near as popular.
No.
Really?
I do love oysters.
Oh. I remember Central Pennsylvania, the fire departments, to raise money so they could, you know, buy new equipment and such, would have oyster and beef dinners, all you can eat.
Would they be fried oysters?
They're fried oysters. Yeah. And they were absolutely, the first time I ever had oysters. I wasn't a fan until I had that. And I think of these just amazing amount of food that they would create. And it was so good.
How about some of the recipes that we have? I mean, we have a lot of seafood on MrFood.com. I know we have a seafood stuffed fish filet.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was, that. I think that's one of Patty's best seafood recipes.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
And we also have a baked overstuffed shrimp. So it's kind of the same concept as the stuffed fish filets, except instead of stuffing the fish, we're stuffing the shrimp. So it's kind of cool. And both of those are stuffed with crab meat. Now you can use real crab meat or imitation crab meat. Either way, it's going to be really tasty.
And we have a salmon, I think, with like a balsamic glaze.
That sounds nice.
You could put balsamic glaze on a brick. Yeah. It would be good. I mean, it's just like delicious.
Did you always like seafood, or when you were a kid, did
Hated
you not
it as
like
a kid.
It?
Loved
I know
it
very
time.
Few kids that like
That's
seafood.
That's why my mom made haddock, because yeah. I liked it. That was when I was a bachelor in my first apartment. That was the first thing I ever made and really kind of stuck with it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was haddock was the only thing, and we ate it probably once a week. Because fish fries were the thing and they were cheap.
I buy the beer battered fish fillets in the frozen aisle.
Oh, yeah.
And I bake them and then I kind of crumble them up and make fish tacos with them.
It's
My son loves that.
Great shortcut to make good fish tacos. You take, you know, you can go from a fish stick to any of the pre-cooked fish in the freezer aisle, put them in a tortilla, a little bit of coleslaw, just a little tangy dressing, and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. And fish sticks are a good way to get kids to get kids introduced to fish. We have a recipe for cafeteria fish sticks, and it's sort of the same concept as like chicken tenders. Kids can dip them into ketchup or whatever other dipping sauce they like, ranch. And these are really good because they're coated with potato chips, and kids love potato chips.
So gets a nice crunch to the outside too, probably.
Right? Yeah,
and lots of flavor. Merle just sucks off the potato chips.
So that recipe is on MrFood.com for cafeteria fish sticks. So if you have picky eaters and you want to get them to eat some fish, you can start off with that.
I remember the first time I had an oyster. My brother was in the military. He was in Seattle, and we were walking on the edge of the ocean there where it came into the inlet by Mount Rainier, I believe, or somewhere up there. And he said, "I think these are oysters." And I was like, "You think?" He said, and we were young and stupid. We whacked them together, broke them open, and just ate them right there, not knowing if they were good, bad, or
and
good. They were delicious.
You're alive today, and, so. Yeah.
So I probably don't recommend that to anybody, but it did good for us. So seafood, America loves it. It's a love affair. It continues to grow and continues to add lots more. Ooh, it's so good.
Coming up, an over-the-top chicken Caesar melt and Howard's top five pantry staples as we find out what's cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
This advertisement is neither an offer to lend nor a commitment of funding. Penn Funding is a marketing and information firm for business.
Attention, small business owners. Penn Funding announces the easiest and fastest business funding program, the Platinum Business Account.
We needed cash, fast. Business is good, but this is an emergency.
We needed some new equipment, and the banks wouldn't help us.
At Penn Funding, we like to say, yes, you're approved. With your Platinum Business Account, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. This amazing new business account funding program is so effective, you could have the cash you need in just days.
I called Penn Funding and had my money fast.
Call now for your Platinum Business Account. If you've been in business for at least 6 months, you could qualify for up to $50,000 or more in just days. Call 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357. 800-755-5357.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
Do you know what month it is?
March.
It is March. It's, you know, March. What else March is?
I don't know.
It's National Frozen Food.
No kidding.
Who would think? It's really an entire month devoted to saluting all the great items in our freezer case. Plus, there's some amazing sales going on right
now.
That's
why I like this month.
You like the sales.
Yep. There's a lot of coupons for some of my favorite products.
You could have a different frozen food every day and not even make it halfway down the freezer.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
There's such a variety.
I think I would probably stop right around the ice cream aisle.
Yeah, I might get stuck there too.
You know, so many people have misconceptions about frozen food that, it's all got a lot of preservatives. It's totally the contrary. I mean, freezing is what preserves it, where canned food and packaged, shelf-stable food has preservatives and it needs it. There are just so many great items in the freezer case. Like Amy said, you could just have a ball with them. And a lot are so much more advanced than they used to be.
Yeah, the whole freezer section's changed a lot. I mean, you talked about people think preservatives and salt, and it's not like that anymore.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we had TV dinners as kids, and today the variety is just...
I walk down the freezer a lot, especially nowadays since I don't have a full working kitchen. I rely a lot on
food. The reason, because you're redoing your
kitchen.
Yes,
I'm remodeling my kitchen.
Right.
So
it's not that it was stolen or anything.
Well, you're cooking out of the microwave, right?
Exactly. So I've had to walk the freezer aisles more than I normally would. And it's actually been good. I noticed a new product the other day. It's cauliflower rice.
Interesting. In the freezer case.
Yep.
Wow.
So it's already riced cauliflower, which is great because I used to make cauliflower rice from scratch, which took forever to process the cauliflower, and cleaning the food processor is always such a job. So it was great to have it already done for me. All I had to do is stick it in the microwave for a few minutes and it came out. It was the exact same thing and I could use it in anything. I could add some spices to it and dress it up, and some frozen chicken.
And I know you are excited because you have a recently acquired obsession with breaded eggplant.
Yes.
And then you were in the freezer aisle the other day and you found
Dominic's brand, I believe.
The eggplant that's pre-sliced and pre-breaded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I can make my favorite eggplant sandwiches.
Exactly. So there's lots new.
And I think it's a great example how manufacturers are really listening to what we need. I mean, there's no reason, if everybody wants something, let's just make it. I mean, ricing, like you said, was a lot of work. And why bother with doing all that when you can buy it already?
Yeah.
We're all too busy. People don't either have time to cook or they don't want to cook.
So what's a frozen food that you always have in your freezer?
We always have lots of frozen vegetables, for sure. Yeah. That can mix and match with anything.
Do you do the steamer ones?
No.
Steamer bags?
Nope.
We're big on that.
Yeah.
Because it's so quick and easy, especially Brussels sprouts. Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely love those.
I love frozen waffles, I have to admit.
Here he's back to the waffles.
Those are good.
I do like frozen
waffles.
That
was a week ago or so, I think, but that's okay.
We were walking the case the other day. Pat and I were at the grocery store. We were doing some TV segments there, and they have donuts with a hamburger in there and cheese. So they're using the donut actually as the bun. And there's something like fried Twinkies, fried Oreos.
In the freezer
in
section?
In the freezer.
Wow.
So they've taken fair food and placed it in the freezer section.
Incredible.
How about that?
Yeah. And very mainstream. We're not talking any bizarre.
Yeah.
The Walmarts of the world are,
I gotta look for that.
This kind of stuff. So again, I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent.
Something that I get from the freezer aisle a lot as well is those peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, Uncrustables.
The Uncrustables. I like to eat them frozen, actually. I just like the way the jelly is when it's frozen.
It's because you're smart.
And you probably could leave them in your car for 2 or 3 weeks, and then she eats them warm.
There you go. So, yeah, so I love those. Those make for a great snack or breakfast in my house.
We actually, when we were in Chicago at FMI, which is the Food Marketing Institute, when they first launched Uncrustables, and they were all made by hand, and it was peanut butter and jelly, and it was a company just making them, and they were using Jif peanut butter in them. They used so much Jif peanut butter. Well, it was started by the Smucker Corporation.
Or Smuckers.
Smuckers Corporation. Yeah. And they to really use jelly. They used so much Jif, they actually bought Jif because more Jif gets put into those Uncrustables than they sell in the jar.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, it's and they used to all be made by hand. Now it's done by machine, but it was just a test at the beginning. They had no idea it was going to be the grand slam that it is.
Yeah. And they have different varieties now. Yeah. You can get it with strawberry jelly. You can get whole wheat crust. They even have
grilled cheese, don't they?
They have a Nutella one. Oh. So, which, yep, it's phenomenal.
I'm sure there's some listeners that are hearing us talk about this right now and thinking, well, wait a minute, I can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
But those aren't as much fun.
These are the perfect. I mean, it brings the jelly and the peanut butter goes all the way to the edge, and there's no crust. You don't have to cut your crust. You don't have to. It's just easy.
It's, you know, if you go back 20 years and say, I'm going to make a frozen peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
People would say, are you crazy?
They would look at you like you had lobsters crawling out of your ears.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many of you have tried a Hot Pocket?
I've lived on those for a while. Right?
Yep. Those never are staples in our freezer. But now they have, you know, just like you said, the Uncrustables are expanding into different crusts and such. The Hot Pockets now, they have pretzel crusts.
That's
and
right.
My son likes the pretzel crust one stuffed with cheese and chicken and jalapenos. And they have all sorts of flavors.
My neighbor's kids, they buy these pitas and they have either hamburger and cheese in them. It's like cutting a pita in half and stuffing it, or chicken and cheese.
They're those delicious. Are good.
I've you
had
microwave
those.
Them for like 15 or 20 seconds.
Maybe frozen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sandwich Brothers.
Sandwich Brothers is the name? Okay.
I'm going to look for that.
And they're just, they're
very
light,
good. There's a gyro one too, or Yito.
And there's breakfast ones too. Mm-hmm. Just, again, these convenient foods that are convenient, they're inexpensive. It's great for the kids, after school snacks.
Well, really nice time stuff. Wise too. I mean, look, we all run and have busy lives, especially if you got a whole herd of kids at home. You got the events you got to send them to, and it's quick turnaround and out.
Right.
And they get there when they come home at whatever time. They're hungry, even if it's 25 minutes before dinner.
Right.
They're gonna eat.
Yeah, I'm amazed now at the pizza section in the supermarket freezer.
Yeah.
It used to be maybe 1-2 brands at the most, and you could get plain or pepperoni, and now. It's crazy. It's like half an aisle of pizzas, and there's all these nice flavors and different
gourmet,
kinds of crusts.
Rising crust.
And there's gluten-free and stuffed crust. Yeah.
There's even some that come with cookies and wings inside the box. You can get pizza and wings
together.
Well,
Merle, you would know that. Wow. Didn't we do a recipe recently? It was like a chicken Caesar melt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a pita pocket. No.
No, it was Texas toast. You know, you buy the Texas toast, and then it had the grilled chicken strips and roasted peppers and Caesar dressing and onion rings on top.
Oh, my God.
Sounds really good.
It's really good.
Oh. Yeah. A nice, you know, you can make it. It could be like an after-school snack. It could be a great dinner, I would imagine.
And that recipe is the over-the-top chicken Caesar melt on MrFood.com.
And we also have a recipe. I think it's the all-in-one pierogi skillet.
We love some pierogies around here.
We love pierogies.
Now, pierogies, that's actually a great thing to buy frozen because to make pierogies from scratch is
nobody's doing that anymore.
Work. Right. I mean, Patty is Polish descent, and I've asked her if she makes pierogies from scratch, and she sort of laughed and told me that it was way too much work to do it on a daily basis. So this is great. Our all-in-one pierogi skillet uses frozen potato pierogies. It also uses some frozen veggies and... They taste amazing, those frozen potato pierogies.
Yes, they do.
They're quite good. And I love desserts when you can take something in the freezer aisle, like cheesecake, and turn it into a whole different thing. I see that you're looking at the recipe there, Amy.
I am. It's crispy cheesecake squares. Oh. So if you buy a frozen cheesecake and just thaw it a little bit, and then you can cut it into squares, and you mix it with frozen strawberries and blueberries, and then you kind of pat crushed corn cereal. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like the cornflakes, you crush them up, and then you coat the cheesecake squares with it and drizzle the strawberry blueberry sauce over it. Top notch.
So like bite-sized cheesecake nuggets of heaven.
Yeah.
That's a snack. That sounds really good.
That sounds like dinner or something.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
So I tell you, you know, this is just a few things that you can find in the freezer aisle, done a little differently. Take the time, go to the freezer aisle, check out some different things. After all, it's real food, just frozen. And, ooh, it's so good.
Still to come, our favorite frozen foods, crispy cheesecake squares. And we'll tell you that it's okay to use regular salt when kosher's called for. That and much more right here in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out. Call 800-432-8898. 800-432-8898. 800-432-8898. 800-432-8898.
Still to come, friendly freezer foods you have to try. We answer your email cooking questions and take a bite out of cheese. Plus, great recipes that'll have you saying,
"Ooh, it's so good."
Now in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen, along with Amy, Merle, and Brian, here's Howard.
We're back in the test kitchen, and today we're talking about March's Frozen Food Month. And we are so fortunate to have Skip Shaw, the president and CEO of the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, with us. Welcome, Skip.
Hi, Skip.
Well, thank you, Howard. Happy to be here, gang.
You know, we celebrate a lot of things in the spring, but National Frozen Food Month is such a great thing to celebrate. There's so many sales in the marketplace, and you're on an industry level. Tell us a little bit about your role and what the association does.
Well, NFR is a little unique in that we represent all segments of the industry. It would be supermarkets, like the Southeast Grocers, Winn-Dixie's, Publix, frozen food manufacturers, sales agents. But as an association, our role is to promote the sales, the consumption, the awareness of frozen foods.
And it's interesting that you have both the supermarket and the manufacturers. So that's everything you see in the dairy aisle as well as in the freezer cases, which is quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, I think part of, you know, as an industry, what we try to get across to our members is that, you know, at times we need to take off those company hats and put those industry hats on and really work together to communicate to the consumer the benefits of frozen foods. And that's what we try to do with this March Frozen Food Month and the annual PR campaign that we do as well.
So what are some of the trends that you see? You know, again, you're talking to the top, you know, CEOs and marketing people and development people in the industry. How do you work and grow your industry or your association knowing that?
Well, you know, I think it's important for all of us involved with the industry to keep our finger on the pulse of the consumer and what they want. You know, and I think if you look at today, it's important to look at those needs of consumer health and wellness is something that's very important. Natural and organic, more ethnic flavors from the Mediterranean, Middle East. They want to explore what's in the frozen food aisles. Our consumer base, our millennials, our boomers, they're all saying the same things. They want cleaner labels, better for you products, and they're price conscious about what they buy in the supermarket nowadays.
You know, we know people aren't cooking as much as they used to. So again, right, offering, you know, especially the ethnic, if you sit down and follow a recipe for an Asian dish or a dish from India, there could be, you know, 10 or 15 spices and sauces in it. where the average person doesn't have time today to do that. If you can just take that dish and put it in the microwave, that's a huge benefit. It's incredible.
Yeah, you know, frozen foods has come a long way. You know, we started Frozen Food Month, believe it or not, in 1984.
Wow.
And here we are 30-plus years later, still talking about the benefits of frozen foods. And, you know, we've always had the convenience part of this, but now it's, you know, we want to change those perceptions. Frozen food is real food. It just happens to be frozen. We do, the manufacturers do, what the consumer does in their kitchen. But again, like you say, Howard, they just makes it convenient for them to use other items in the supermarket along with the frozen foods, the meal starter kits. But I really think the manufacturers have really taken the lead in again, listening to the consumer and coming up with innovative products that they can make their life a lot easier in the kitchen with these the hectic lifestyles that we all live.
I remember a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Stouffer's, and I went to their corporate kitchens, and I spent the day watching as they develop some new products. Again, so we can learn, so we can pass this on to our consumers and our listeners and viewers. And it's very interesting that it's exactly like you're saying. They were making lasagna, and they were doing the noodles and doing the ricotta filling and making the homemade sauce. And then they just take that and bring it to the plant, which is literally across the street from where they are, and they just do it on a bigger scale. And it's done, you know, part machine, part by hand, but it's no different than if, you know, Grandma Rosa was in her kitchen making lasagna for you.
Absolutely. And again, these are the stories that we need to tell the consumers. This is part of the PR campaign that we established. We're now in our fourth year, again, to change those perceptions and talk about the benefits of frozen foods. But people want to know where their food comes from. So, you know, you did this segment on Stouffer's. We've worked with vegetable companies and talking about vegetables from farm to table and what that looks like. We've worked with a seafood company and talking about catching the fish at sea and harvesting right there on the boat. So, you know, in a lot of cases, frozen foods is fresher than fresh.
I think a lot of people don't understand. You know, they go to the market and they pick up a head of broccoli, and then they don't realize that's been maybe picked a week ago at least, because it had to go from there to a wholesaler to the grocery store, sitting in the grocery store for a few days, and then it's going home, sitting a few days. Where frozen, most times, it's picked and packed within 24 hours, if not even sooner than that, locking in the flavor, locking in the nutrients, and then it goes to the marketplace. And when you're ready to use it, you just take it out of the freezer, whether you thaw it for a few minutes, pop it in the microwave, whatever. It's literally like being fresh picked.
Absolutely, no doubt. And the other nice thing about frozen foods too, I mean, we're so conscious nowadays, the consumers, even our industry, in waste. We don't want any kind of food waste. There's so much food waste that goes on across the country, but with frozen foods, you do exactly what you say, Howard, and then you refreeze what you don't use. So there's literally, really no waste if you store and handle the product properly at home.
So what do you think the biggest opportunity that lies ahead for the industry?
Well, I think in looking the way we promote to the consumers, I'm trying to push as an industry to work with other departments within the supermarket, do some cross merchandising, you know, take a frozen lasagna and pair that with a fresh Caesar salad or something along those lines. You know, the aisle itself has always been known as a very clean, very sterile, very safe place to shop. But I think we need to warm up the frozen food aisle, maybe with different visuals of food. And again, as an industry, we need to draw attention to all the great innovation and all the quality products that are being developed by the manufacturers. So, and to continue to promote the value, convenience, and the waste aspect of frozen foods. So there's still a lot that we could do in changing those perceptions about frozen foods.
And I think if people tried, I mean, I go back to when I was a youngster, it was, you know, the TV dinner that was the meatloaf, the mashed potatoes, the peas, and maybe the roasted apples in the corner. And to where it is today, it's just tremendous. I mean, there's so many great brands that have so many different things. And it's that innovation of the chefs at these manufacturers and the manufacturing plants that really brings this all to fruition.
Yeah, you know, the other thing too, gang, is that, again, the manufacturers are listening to the consumer a lot more closely. You know, we've heard for years about the sodium content in frozen foods. Many of the frozen food companies have already done so, reduced the sodium in frozen foods, and a lot of them are still working on that. Sodium is always just a matter of enhancing the taste. So no artificial ingredients. So cleaner labels. I mean, that's what the industry is looking for to provide to the consumer. So, again, moving ahead, we're addressing those trends, those needs of our consumer.
And I remember talking to the team of chefs at Stouffer's. I mean, they were really sharing that freezing is the preservative. So you don't have to put the additional salt. There's no preservatives in frozen food like you would on shelf-stable or canned-type products, because the freezing is the process. And that's really helps keep that label clean.
Exactly.
If there's a frozen food item that's a favorite in your house, what would it be?
Frozen vegetables are probably something we use, I would say, 3-4 times a week to enhance the dishes we make at home. So there are some great items. There's some strange ones, too. You know, I was looking the other day, and at one time there were pickle pops. I'm not sure I would go for a pickle pop. I'm not sure if they're still around. Vegetable ice cream.
I saw them just the other day.
I saw the other
day.
Yeah.
You should try one, Amy.
I know. I love pickles, and I kind of paused and went, should I? I don't know. What's a pickle pop?
So I like even our dog, Fred. There's dog treats that are frozen in the frozen food.
There are.
And he loves them.
Yep. My dog loves them, too.
So I really encourage everybody who's listening to take a few extra minutes, go down the freezer aisle, and explore the different things that are there. I mean, we talked about, the frozen pickles. I saw hamburgers that were sandwiched between donuts the other day when I was at the store. There's lots of different things. Take advantage. Try maybe a new thing every time you go to the store. Skip, thank you so much. Again, we're with Skip Shaw, President and CEO of the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association. Always a pleasure. And this is a great month to take advantage of all the savings at the market. And I know our listeners will do so.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure being with you today.
And you're going to be saying, ooh, it's so good.
Stay with us because we're going to get pretty cheesy. It's coming up next right here in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044. 800-865-5044.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out. Call 800-432-8898. 800-432-8898. 800-432-8898. 800-432-8898.
You know, one of the things I love here in the Test Kitchen is when listeners write in and ask us questions. I mean, that's really what keeps us on track and understand what people's needs are, what they're looking for, as well as just to help people. And that's really what I feel a big job of what we do is. So, Merle, I know you're on social media. You work with our website all the time. What are some of the questions that you think we can help people with?
We've got a ton of questions, but I chose just a few for us to talk about on today's show. It comes from Joe from Mississippi, and he wants to know, how do you know when cheese has gone bad?
The nose knows.
Ooh.
I don't know. I look at it, if there's green mold on it, I kind of go, but you can cut around that.
You can. Right? It really depends on the type of cheese you're talking about. You know, firmer cheese is easy to trim off if there's mold on the outside. Right. I mean, it's a common happening of cheese. So trim it off. Again, if it's slimy, runny,
that's bad. That's gross.
You're too far gone.
You have good and you have bad.
Right. So if you can trim it off, you know, it's going to make it a little more sharp. Obviously, aged cheese is sharper.
Okay.
One of the things that we do at home is you can buy vacuum bags. They look like sandwich bags and they have a little vacuum opening on them, valve. And it's a small little machine that you just charge up and you put it over that valve and it sucks all the air out. So it's almost like Cryovac, which is, you know, when you shrink wrap.
Right.
Keeps cheese amazing. Deli meats and all sorts, because it takes all the air out.
Sure.
So if you're someone who doesn't eat lots of cheese on a regular basis or you want to store it for long periods of time, I really recommend that. But again, if it looks really wet, that's one indication, because that's something you don't want.
What's starting to break down if it's that way?
Yeah, it's just too much moisture in your refrigerator. Again, if it really smells bad, and you can taste when it's starting to get a little too sharp and this isn't right.
How long do you think you should keep cheese?
Harder cheeses could last like really up to 6 months, but some of the fresher cheeses, you know, the fresh mozzarella and the fettas and things like that, a couple weeks at max.
We hope we answered your question, Joe. So then our second question comes from Lillian in Florida, and she wants to know, is it wrong to put food in an oven before the oven is preheated? And I do this all the time.
Why does that not surprise me?
You're so patient normally, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, okay, I'll factor another 3 minutes or something.
Well, it really, it makes a huge difference on what you're making. I mean, if you're heating up a lasagna, it doesn't make a difference. You know, you just put it in there and it's going to warm up and it'll be fine. On the other hand, if you're baking a cake, you know, you need that burst of heat to get everything activated and for it to rise. If you heat it slowly, it's just going to sit there and never get to the right doneness, or your pie crust is not going to brown and things like that. Anything, if you're just warming it up, you can put it in an oven that's not preheated. Again, we always recommend preheating. I think a big thing is you can use your toaster oven. A lot of people have toaster ovens that can hold even like a 7x11 pan or an 8x8 pan. You can put a lot in your toaster oven without heating up your whole oven, and they preheat in seconds instead of 5 to 10 minutes.
Good point.
That's really the big difference there. Yes, we recommend preheating, but it's not the end of the world if you're just warming something.
So don't follow my example.
Do not.
Then number three, Robin from Utah, and she writes, if a recipe calls for coarse or kosher salt, can I substitute that with regular table salt?
That's a great question. And a lot of people have either learned by mistake. I think the difference is kosher salt or sea salt is much larger grind.
Right.
So if you can imagine, if you had a bucket and you filled it up with large rocks, there's a lot of space between those rocks because the way they sit, which means there's really less rock in that weight-wise, even though it fills up the bucket. But if you had small little pebbles and you filled that bucket, it's going to be solid rock. There's not going to be any air between them. Same kind of thing. If you have a tablespoon of salt, that is sea salt or kosher salt, because it's a larger grain, there's going to be more air there versus if you had a finely ground table salt. So it is going to be saltier if you use table salt versus kosher or sea salt.
Does it affect the chemical reaction at all of whatever you're cooking?
Well, I mean, if you're cooking like a steak or something like that, it's going to dissolve slower because it's larger.
Okay.
And I mean, I like the crunch of salt and pepper. So I think it's good to, and you have more control, I think, cooking with sea salt and table salt.
And it depends on the recipe too. I mean, you wouldn't want to use kosher salt in a cake recipe that calls for table salt.
Okay.
So, you know, you can't always just substitute.
If
it doesn't say table salt in the recipe, then where do you go?
It's typically going to say salt, and salt is table salt.
Salt is table salt. Right. Okay.
If it says sea salt or kosher salt,
then it'll actually say it.
Okay. And a lot of times you'll find that in pickling. Right now, caramel and sea salt is a very popular combination. So you want to see the crystals on top of maybe a brownie with caramel and sea salt on top. So you want those nuggets of salt.
Most importantly, which type of salt do you use on your margarita glass?
I would use a coarse ground salt. What would you use? I mean, you probably have more experience in this than I do.
It's margarita salt. I don't know what kind it is. It's called margarita salt.
It's probably coarse.
If you've ever been, and there's a lot of stores that have gourmet salts.
Right.
I mean, pink Himalaya, volcanic salt.
Lots of flavors.
Those are more designed to be used as a condiment than in cooking. So you sprinkle them on, and you're going to get the smoky taste from the volcanic salts, or the pink Himalaya have a very unique taste.
I've had that. It's very good.
They're very good.
Very, very good.
And you can even get like salt like rasps or graters that you actually grate it right on. So you take the bigger block and things like that. And it's popular to serve things on blocks of salt you can find in some of the gourmet shops.
That's cool.
So you actually serve it on that. Just put it in the dishwasher or it's gone when it comes.
Remember the salt bar? We went to a salt bar.
Oh, in New York.
In New York.
In New York when we went. Yes. You were there with us.
Was it next door to the oxygen bar?
No, it was just you and me.
Okay.
No.
Food presented on salt?
It's like a slab of salt.
Yeah.
And they serve like...
What does that add to it?
Salt.
Flavoring underneath. Well, cool. I got that, but I mean...
Awesomeness.
Awesomeness. Okay. Something I want to try. I've never heard of it.
Great presentation.
Yeah. Have to try that.
Yeah. I mean, so it's really fun. And one thing that a lot of people don't know is we love when you write in your questions. You know, MrFood.com is a great way to, you know, just go on there. And under a recipe comment, if you have a question about that recipe or something related to it, Merle and Anna and the rest of the team will really get right back to you on those answers. Our test kitchen is involved on a regular basis or on Facebook. We love when you ask questions, so don't be shy. We're here for you, and that's really what it's all about.
And on that note, we have one final question, and that is from Anita in Kansas. And this is a question just for you, Howard.
Just for me. Anita, thank you.
And she
Anita,
says,
Anita, ask you a question.
Anita, an answer says, now.
Hey, Howard, I love you, and I want to know what your top five pantry staples are.
Anita, I love you, too.
I'm telling Patty.
Patty knows. You know, I think some of the things that I love to have in my pantry, I think pasta. I think having pasta, it's so versatile.
Easy.
You can do so many
fast.
Things. It's fast.
Yeah.
Charred sauce.
Yep.
For all the people who make their homemade sauce, love you dearly. I think it's great for certain times, but jarred sauce can be so adapting to so many different recipes.
Doctor it up a little bit if
Doctor
you want.
Doctor it up, right? Change it up, thin it up. And canned beans. Canned beans are a nice addition. Lots of protein. Makes perfect if you're adding to a soup or a casserole.
All right, that's three. You need two more.
Oh, boy. How about a great spice rack? I mean, I don't know if that's considered one.
That's cheating.
Yeah, really.
We have
you're
three
picking
of
a
them.
Spice, you're just saying a spice rack.
Well,
that's
I think because that just gives you like such a wealth of flavor across the board. So I think having great spices on hand, I'm going to use that as one, not 25.
All right.
And then cereal. I think cereal's great because if there's nothing else to eat, you can have a bowl of cereal.
True.
But you can use cereal for breading chicken, fish, using it as a topper mixed maybe with a little butter on top of a casserole. I think it's just very versatile. You can almost start it as a, add a little sugar to it and make it with an apple crisp, do a crisp topping.
Eating it in the morning with a bowl of milk.
Straight out of the box.
Just to clarify, are you talking about cornflakes as probably the problem?
It could be a granola type cereal. Okay. It could be a cornflake type cereal.
Rice Krispies? Probably.
Right. Anything. I think
fruity just, circles.
I don't know if that's where I was going.
Count Chocula on
that would
your
be in
salmon
Merle's pantry.
Yes. I don't think Count Chocula.
I wasn't talking about anything magically delicious or anything. But I think cereal overall, there's lots of great things. Now there's a lot of mixed cereals, which I love. I like mixing two or three cereals together on a good day, and it's a great way to use up that little bit on the bottom of the box. So write in. We'd love your questions. We're going to help you say, "Ooh, it's so good."
And if you'd like to make any of the great recipes or see the ideas we've talked about on today's show, go to MrFood.com and click the radio button. What's Cooking in the Mr. Food Test Kitchen is a production of Ginsburg Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved. And remember, as we always say here on the Mr. Food Test Kitchen,
ooh, it's so good.